This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in. Hey, we made it to Friday. That's a good thing. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show, and we're glad you're with us this morning. We're getting you up on the socials right now on YouTube, X, Facebook, you name it, Rumble. We should be up there for you. You can see I'm wearing my Kansas City Chiefs jersey. And I just think it's worth explaining the jersey that I'm wearing. As you can see, I'm going to turn around here to the camera. I bought this jersey after the whole Harrison Butker incident, when they were trying to run him out of the NFL for daring to stand up for Christian values, for his Catholic values, when he addressed that university and told the ladies the truth, and the public didn't want to hear the truth. Remember, they were trying to pressure the Chiefs to trade one of the best kickers in the NFL. The Chiefs turned around and gave him more money. They renegotiated his contract, which kind of endeared me a little bit to the Hunt family over there in Kansas City. I don't watch a lot of NFL football, mainly playoffs. It's usually limited to the playoffs. And so that's why I'm wearing, the Super Bowl's this weekend. I'll be rooting for the Chiefs, and I'll be rooting for Harrison Butker in particular. So that's kind of just to get that out of the way this morning, because there are haters out there. It's like, I don't watch the NFL anymore. Why do you watch the NFL? I don't generally watch the NFL, but I do watch the Super Bowl.
They've also taken the end racism that we used to see in the end zones. They have removed that, so you will not see that for the Super Bowl.
Yep, things are going our direction. They really are. When you see all of these companies that have suddenly announced they're dropping this, they're dropping that. Yesterday afternoon, the NCAA announced that it is implementing a new requirement for NCAA-sanctioned sports, that you have to be a biological female to compete against females, except in practice. And, I mean, that I have no problem with that. I heard that the coach down at, was it LSU, used to have her girls practice against the boys to help make them better. So it doesn't stop something like that, but it will stop biological men from participating in women's sports in college. It's just common sense.
Yeah, I mean, as long as I think having them practice with the boys is great. I can see the value in that. And as long as they're not making them change in the same locker room as the boys, then I have no problem with that.
Right. Well, again, another fallout from the president's executive order. They're coming fast and furious. So much so that not only is it unheard of, when I say it's hard to keep up with, I do this for a living, and I have a hard time keeping up with it. People say, hey, did you hear the president do this? I'm like, no, when did he do that? I watch news feeds all the time. I did not see that. He's making America great every single day. And Tom Holman may be making America great a little later today. He announced yesterday they discovered who was releasing details on where ICE was going to be in Aurora, Colorado. When they were out there trying to pick up those gang members, they showed up to an apartment complex and they were all gone. Somebody had tipped them off that ICE was coming. He announced yesterday on Fox that he now knew where that leak came from, and he was going to deal with it today.
He should.
He will.
While they're suing Chicago and what was the other city, the sanctuary cities that are refusing to participate, you know, in any sort of federal immigration policy that, you know, of Trump trying to deport these illegals.
Yep, true. That's true. You know, one thing else we talked about yesterday, Kim, you brought it up. Somebody mentioned it on, I don't know if it was Facebook or YouTube, and that's a local issue with the bathrooms in Fort Zumwalt being co-ed.
Yeah, I saw pictures of this yesterday.
I saw the post on Facebook, and we are going to get a parent on the air Monday morning. I've got that. I'm working on that. I'm in contact. We're going to try to get it. I wanted to do it this morning, but she wasn't available because of schedules, because she's a busy mom with her kids. We're going to try to get it set up for Monday morning to talk more about it. She's outraged, and I think is planning to escalate this to maybe Andrew Bailey and try to figure out how in the world, because what they did out there wasn't a simple modification. Money had to be appropriated by the board for a renovation of that magnitude.
Well, and how did this all happen under our noses? How did parents, were parents not aware that they were discussing these construction plans? Because would this not have been required to be discussed in a public school board meeting? Though we do know, and I forget if it was Francis Howell, one of the districts out there in St. Charles County, remember, they were under fire, and rightfully so, because they were discussing what should have been public information in private meetings.
And they were called out on that by a couple of board members.
But think about how often that happens at these districts across the area, and no one realizes it's even going on.
Here's the problem, and I spoke to a friend of mine last night who is a teacher. I'm not going to mention the school, but he said at my school, they tried to go to the single-use bathroom. They had a bathroom in the hall that was for staff only. It was a single use. You could go in and lock the door. He said they opened it up for students who felt like they needed to have a separate bathroom because they didn't know if they were a boy or a girl. He said within a week, two students were caught in there having sex. Because they could go into that place and lock the door, and nobody could get to them, and they were abusing, so to speak, the privilege of having a separate bathroom where you could lock the doors. And here we got a co-ed bathroom where you could lock the stall doors. It's insane. We'll talk about that on Monday morning for sure. We got a good show for today. Before the end of the show today, we're going to hear from the offensive genius himself, Mike Martz, the architect of the greatest show on turf, and get his thoughts on the game this weekend and maybe which way he's leaning and all that. I was very excited to hear that. Tricia managed to pull that off. I'm not sure how, but I'm very excited. We're going to get Coach Mike Martz on here in the 8 o'clock hour today. So stay tuned for that. Carl, let's get to a few of our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Common sense is illegal in Washington. They can't get their mind around doing anything other than the Washington way.
Yeah, Senator Kennedy, he's right. There's not a lot of common sense, and when they find you exercising it, they try to crush you like a bug.
Democrats want to audit you for a $600 Venmo payment. But when Elon audits the trillion-dollar government, they're ready to storm the castle.
Yeah, let me get this straight. You're not mad at the people that lied to you. You're mad at the people that told you the truth about it. That's what my question is to the left in this country.
This is not a game. When we show up these sites, this is a dangerous job for the men and women of ICE and Border Patrol and all the DOJ agencies. To have that type of interference puts our officers at great risk.
Yep, there's Mr. Holman talking about people leaking information on where ICE is going next. And for all we know, it came straight from the governor out in Colorado.
I am hoping that this is successful, and that it yields a benefit to the American people, to the working class people, to everybody, where they recognize, like, hey, we can't just be spending all our tax money on nonsense.
I love Joe Rogan. I got to tell you, it would be liberating as my job is, because I can talk about what I want to. I'm never told what to talk about or what not to talk about. It's my show. But it would be liberating to have a platform like Joe Rogan does, where he is not, how can I say this? He is not restrained by the standards of the FCC, because we have a broadcast license. You cannot cuss on the air, right? The way he does all the time. You can drive home your points more effectively sometimes with a couple of well-placed cuss words. And Rogan drops that one all the time, which we always have to bleep when we use any of his stuff. But he's absolutely right. You might have heard this yesterday. It was Scott Jennings who said the Democrats have a unique fatal flaw that they love to latch themselves onto the 20% argument. Donald Trump, it's part of his brilliance, really, his strategy, where he latches himself onto the 80% argument. In other words, 80% of the people support this point of view. The Democrats, because they hate Donald Trump, automatically jump to the 20% argument that only 20% of people agree with. Cutting federal spending is an 80-20 argument. People are completely in support of that. And the Democrats are like, no, you can't cut a dime. We've authorized every penny of the, you can't cut a dime.
Well,
wait a minute, you're now admitting to me that you were fine with trillions of dollars of U.S. money being wasted overseas on, you know, LGBTQ porn comic books. Come on.
I think the Democrats say we want to cut, you know, wasteful spending, but then as soon as it impacts anybody, like if anybody loses their job, I think that's where they draw the line. And I've said this yesterday, but I feel for those people who have lost their job. That isn't easy. But at the same time, Trump was given a very clear mandate from the American people who voted for him, more than half the country, and that is to cut spending. And unfortunately, that means people will lose their jobs, but it's not like they're being left high and dry. He's offering people full pay with benefits. Sometimes you're hearing till September, I think, what was it, for the USAID? Mm-hmm. But then you're also, I heard this morning on the Gordon Deal Show, October. I mean, this is a substantial amount of time that they have to get pay, find a new job. I'm not sure how it works. If they say find a job in June, can they double dip? Are they still going to continue getting paid by the federal government while also getting their
salary? Sure.
I wonder how that works. So this isn't I actually feel for these people losing their jobs. That if you've worked at the same job and that's all you've known for 30 years, that would be hard. Even if I disagree with what you're doing, that would be hard. A big adjustment, moving your family potentially. But that doesn't mean that the bigger picture is more important, which is we have to cut wasteful spending. You look at how much in debt we are, and it's pathetic. We cannot keep down this track.
Which is why it's a losing argument for the Democrats. I'm just convinced of it. I'll play you some sound from Schumer yesterday on the Senate floor. Unbelievable. All right, let's go ahead and get to our national anthem today. Carl, what do we have? Oh, it's the fray.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, just want to get on the record here real quick for those of you who may have forgotten the rules that changed here a week or so ago. And the winner of Real or Fake gets to pick the music on Fridays. The winner, if you'll remember, was Kim St. Ange.
come from behind victory.
I may come from behind victory. So, Kim, do you want to explain yourself here?
Well, the entire show, the songs I picked, I think there were 10 of them, they all either remind me of my family or there's a few songs I just really like. And
okay.
This song in particular is something that I have memories of as a kid. My parents grew up in the New England area, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and many years as a kid, we would go to New Hampshire, which we're actually doing this June as a family.
Okay.
And I'm really looking forward to that. And we do this thing called the lobster dance. As kids, we would buy lobsters to eat, but before we cooked them, we would put them on my aunt and uncle's floor in the kitchen. And as kids, we would let the lobsters walk around in a circle, and we would all put this song on and dance to it with the lobsters. And so we affectionately called it the lobster dance.
Yes.
So we told ourselves that even now that we're in our 30s, that we want to do the lobster dance this year. And my husband has never experienced that, you know, so we're looking forward.
People from PETA are on line one. They'd like to talk
fine.
To you about
that. They go in the pot after they do their little dance around the kitchen.
It's their last dance before.
Yeah, it's the last dance. It's their last dance. That's
Is this because you guys
watch
Beetlejuice as kids?
Nope.
Is that what the song is from?
Well, no, I don't. Is it?
It's from the 50s, but
right.
Then they used it
in Beetlejuice. Yeah, I knew I'd heard it somewhere before.
The table.
I don't know how we came up with this tradition, but there's pictures of us doing the lobster dance.
That's great. All right, I just wanted to get that out there because somebody at some point today will be on the socials going, "What's this music?" And I just thought it would probably be fair for us to explain that in advance.
I don't think it's music.
It's good.
There might be a couple songs you would...
Two, I think.
Yeah.
Mike would be like, oh, yeah.
I think you might like, but other than that, this is not going to be your type of music, likely.
Wow. That's okay. That's the point of it, right?
I take that back. I think about 4 or 5 he'd be all right with.
Okay. I'm not opposed to it. I just think... People should know it's a
little... No, that's fine. I'll explain every song because there's significance. If you want me to, there is significance in most cases to every song I picked.
That's fine. It's just a departure from what we normally do.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to explain to people.
No, that's good.
Where it came from. The meltdown on the left continues. I'm watching these folks in D.C., Chuck Schumer, the members of the media like Joy Reid, who can't wrap their small brains around what's going on in America. And here's the greatest, this may be one of the greatest examples of it. Chuck Schumer took to the floor yesterday. You know they're mad at this guy named Russell Vogt, who they've nominated to be the head of the Office of Management and Budget. You know who he is, don't you? He worked for the Heritage Foundation, and he was one of the architects of Project 2025. So Trump brilliantly nominated him to be the head of Office of Management and Budget because 2025 was about shrinking the size of government. It's why the liberals tried to make it such an evil thing. It isn't. They're a think tank, right? That's what they do. Let's think about how we could achieve our political goals of shrinking government. And Project 2025 came from a bunch of different people in different areas of expertise, and it was presented in one package. And the liberals tried to claim, well, this is all this he's going to do. All he's not doing all of it, but he is trying to implement some of their recommendations when it comes to how to shrink government. And the squeals you're hearing from the left are probably not unlike the squeals you hear when you drop a lobster into a pot of hot boiling water. They can't believe what they're seeing in front of their eyes. What Chuck Schumer said about this on the Senate floor what he said about Russell Vogt was incredible. Listen.
This man is a slasher. He has shown no respect for people and their needs. His goal is simply to cut everything.
They can't believe it. Yeah, hey, Chuck, that's what we voted for. Get over it. Get used to it. The fastened seatbelt signs are on.
Kim on a whim.
Hi. Impressive carrying skills, right? I got some Bud Lights for us. So, I kept hearing about this thing called March Madness, and I thought we were all just having a hectic month, but it turns out it has something to do with sports. And I'm not sure exactly which sport, but either way, it's a cause to celebrate. This month, I celebrated my day 365 of womanhood, and Bud Light sent me possibly the best gift ever, a can with my face on it.
I'm sorry to do that to you guys, but I had to play that. By now, we all know who that is, right?
Dylan.
Do I need to say it? Thank you. Dylan Mulvaney, is it fair to say iconic? Because that video is going to go down in history, for better or for worse.
Yeah,
some people loved it. Others realized that was a major marketing flop.
It's been banned
Anheuser-Busch.
At Anheuser-Busch. They're not even allowed to play it on their phones over there anymore.
That was 2023 when that came out. And
Wow. Boy,
that rocked that company. And rightfully so. It was a terrible decision. The woman who was, I guess, the mastermind behind it, I believe she lost her job. Well, there is a big change happening at Anheuser-Busch, and the CEO is now encouraging AB's distributors and partners to replace the term domestic with American when it comes to marketing the beer, arguing that that term, American, better reflects the industry's identity.
Okay.
He sent everyone a letter on Wednesday, and he's telling them he's not happy with the longstanding use of that word domestic to describe American-made beer. Because if you look at, you know, a restaurant and you're looking at their menu, you, of course, are going to see domestic beers, things like that, beer stands, grocery aisles. That's just, for whatever reason, the word that they've used. So he's saying, you know what, I'd really like to change this. And like I mentioned, he sent that letter. And I want to read you part of that letter. It says, okay. The pride, this is from, again, the CEO of AB, Brendan Whitworth. He says, the pride we take in this great country should also be properly and accurately applied to our great American beers. They are brewed by American workers who receive American wages. They rely on American farmers and on American raw material suppliers. They support American causes like the military and first responders. They pay American taxes. Domestic isn't necessarily an incorrect adjective to use. It just doesn't fully capture the spirit and passion that's intrinsic in the American beer industry and its brands. It also doesn't fully capture the pride we should all take in products made right here in this great country.
MABA.
What a shift.
MABA at Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah.
See, it's AB.
Make America beer again,
right? Make America beer again.
I mean, how can anyone make the argument that this had nothing to do with Trump? You know, do you think that the CEO had always kind of felt like this?
No.
Or do you think there's been a shift? Because wasn't it the same CEO, Brendan Whitworth, who was on all these network news outlets after this whole Dylan Mulvaney thing? I'm pretty sure it was this guy. And he was, you know, beating around the bush. He wouldn't really answer any direct questions. Remember they said, do you regret doing this? Things like that. And he refused to do it.
He failed the crisis management test. Let's put it that way. So, yeah, here's the thing. I got a number of friends who either worked for or still work for Anheuser-Busch. A couple of them fairly high up over there. And they all came to me and told me when this was going on, Mark, you got to quit being so hard on these folks. It really is a conservative company. They really have conservative values. And I'm like, no. First of all, you don't have to convince me. You have to convince your beer drinkers that you went out and hired a transvestite to represent your most iconic brand. That was stupid. So what I need your conservative CEO to do is to go on camera and say, what we did was stupid. It was a mistake. We hired somebody with a point of view that we should probably have found out more about before we put her in charge of our biggest brand, and she blew it. And if they had come out and said that the week this happened, this would, if not had all gone away, it wouldn't have had nearly the impact on their beer sales. Instead, they felt like they circled the wagons and had to defend it. And Americans said, no, this is nonsense. I no longer buy the fact that, you know, that he's doing this for any reason other than marketing. I just can't believe it.
Well, we all know money talks, and so you could make the argument, well, it's because their sales plummeted after that 2023 Dylan Mulvaney video. But he's had close to 2 years to make that change and did not. And so that's why I'm wondering if, well, I'm sure that was a factor in his decision, but I also wonder if Trump now being in office was what played potentially, that was the tipping point.
Could be the Trump effect.
If Kamala Harris were in office, do you think this change would have been happening? I don't think so.
Oh, hell no. Making beer, American beer great again. That's what they're. I mean, it's smart. And you know, a lot of their cans will show the American flag on them, or the red, white, and blue. And I mean, I think it's a fine marketing tactic. I hope people buy into it. I just don't know. I think unfortunately for you, part of that ship left the dock right after the Dylan Mulvaney incident, and you had a chance to turn it around and you didn't. Mm-hmm. And you've seen the fallout from it. I mean, this may be one step in the recovery. But I still don't think it's going to undo the damage.
I think many companies are doing damage control. I mean, we've seen even Target that had the tuck swimsuits,
yes,
or whatever they're called. Well, obviously, there was a lot of backlash with that. And people, myself included, boycotted Target. I used to go to Target all the time. And I have gone back, but it's seldom. Very, very rarely. And I think that's really key, too, is that not only have they lost people who probably will never, ever step foot inside a Target anymore, but you have someone like me who, I don't want to say I was a loyal customer, but that was just a place I knew I could go to get if I needed random groceries, but also I needed whatever. Like, they just have a lot of stuff, right? And so I would go there quite often, and it's just not first on my list of places to go. And that is hurtful, too, when you have customers like me where they're instead thinking of other stores they can go, and Target's kind of like, oh, yeah, I guess I could go there.
Yeah.
That takes a hit. So a lot of these companies, I think, are trying to turn the ship around. Like, it's like the Titanic, and you saw the iceberg. Some of them already hit it, like AB. And now they're trying to backtrack, and it has cost them greatly.
Well, not all of them have learned their lesson, clearly, and I some of them will try to adjust cosmetically to hopefully take advantage of some of the momentum, mm-hmm, that they see around the Trump common sense approach to life. They'll switch right back as soon as a Democrat gets elected again in the White House.
Could.
They will, but we know how liberal these boards are. I mean, look at the NFL, for example. They saw a decline in viewership when they went woke, when they had people kneeling on the sidelines. They put an end to all that crap. They still had the end racism message and the end of all the end zones, which is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life, because most NFL football teams don't reflect the diversity of America. If you look at the breakdown of race in America, the football team at the NFL level certainly doesn't reflect that percentage. The vast majority of players in the NFL are black, and that's fine. What it does prove is meritocracy. They're the best. It doesn't matter what color they are. It's stupid. And these people are all multimillionaires, and yet we have to be lectured by the NFL to end racism. Racism doesn't exist in the NFL because it's something based on meritocracy. You're either good enough to get a $5 million a year contract, or you're not. And you have to go on and see what else is next in your life. So in the NFL is a good example. They still haven't completely given that crap up. They're going to erase that off the end zone, but they're still going to do the black national anthem before they do the national anthem at the Super Bowl on Sunday.
That's disappointing.
And I'll be sure the sound is down for that, because don't look at me in the face and talk to me about unifying this country and unity and then do something that's as divisive as that.
Yeah.
There aren't two national anthems in this country. There's one. One. Yeah, period.
I agree. Have you seen any of the commercials that have been released ahead of the Super Bowl?
Because I haven't seen one.
I have not seen one either. Surely there would be an Anheuser-Busch. Doesn't Anheuser-Busch normally?
They usually do. Usually it's something cute like a...
Like the Clydesdales.
Like a Clydesdale kicking,
right,
a field goal or something. Yeah.
Right.
They probably are.
Let's see if there's a shift in not just AB's commercials, but in general, some of these companies' commercials, if you can tell, okay, they're making some changes here. The tone is different.
I contemplated a segment on that today and having a guest on to talk about some of the Super Bowl commercials, but I really didn't have enough interest in it. I just don't. I'm not watching the game to see the commercials anymore. There was a time when you would, and some of the commercials are clever, but they're way overpriced and usually probably not as effective as the companies would like, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I just think things have changed now because you get them released early and people have talked about them a lot, so you're just not waiting,
yeah,
by the TV on the actual game day.
If you really want to see them, plus you want to get as wide an audience as you can. So, of course, you release,
yeah,
them ahead of time, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, it's a good point. No, I don't think the conservative spiel from the head of Anheuser-Busch is going to fly now. I think that's about 3 years too late. But that was 3 years ago, wasn't it? Is that when it was?
2023 is when the Dylan Mulvaney video came out. So two years ago.
Wow. Yeah. A lot of damage in 2 years. Holy cow. Very good. Coming up, we're going to get next hour. I'm hoping to get Jackie Heinrich on here because she's been talking about what's going on, the fallout at the White House from the president trying to thin the ranks of federal employees. What's legal, what's not. It's been challenged in court. Hoping to get Jackie on in the next hour. So we'll let you know coming up here in just a few minutes. A little later, Mike March is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. The former Rams coach, head of the greatest show on turf. We'll be right back. When you know, it's hard to believe, but we've really got to ramp up our coverage of these local school board elections that are coming up again in early April. And we'll be talking more about that in the weeks to come because it's the whole concept of a spring election with nothing else on the ballot is one of the most frustrating things I've ever come across. And, you know, it's lobbied against changing. Senator Nick Schroer has got a bill in Jeff City right now to try to change that. He wants to move these ridiculous spring elections to a general election time frame, either an August or a November election, where you have more issues on the ballot and you're more likely to get higher turnout. What we've got now only benefits the progressive teachers unions. That's it. It's low turnout, and yet they're guaranteed a turnout because they tell their union members to go vote. And if you've got 10 or 12% turnout, I mean, we had turnout that low in the last round of elections, they win. It's that simple. Plus, they out in St. Charles County specifically, they outspent the pro-family groups by about $130,000 because they have dues paid by their union members which they then turn around and reroute from their national chapter as well, and they buy these elections. So you got important elections coming up. Now, in St. Louis City, there's a mayoral election. Maybe turnout will be a little higher in the city of St. Louis in April. But I thought this was pretty interesting. I've been reading this tweet line from Mark Maxwell, who's the investigative reporter over at Channel 5. And he showed a picture of the Board of Elections in the city. And this is what it said in the tweet. Let me try to read this here because the printing is really light on our printer, which is almost out of ink. St. Louis early primary voting begins in 12 days. There's just one problem. 80 large steel cages loaded with heavy tabulators and other election equipment is stranded on the third floor of this building, and both elevators are out of service. The parts may not arrive for months. So they've got 12 days to figure out how to get all of their, a big chunk of their election equipment off the third floor of this building. And they're looking at ways to do that, and they're not real clear how they're going to do it yet. He said the Board of Elections Commissioner Ben Borgmeyer tells me we're certainly trying to figure out the most efficient, secure way to stage the equipment for the upcoming March primary election. Their plan at the moment is to try and get the election gear down the elevators with no humans on board. I guess they're afraid the elevators are going to drop or something. I don't know. As a backup plan, they may have to empty the cages and carry them down the stairs, each individual piece of equipment. So,
well, they figured out how to move heavy and big equipment for centuries. Surely they can figure this out. This is 2025.
They've got 12 days.
I mean, that's not an ideal situation, but you know what? Come on, figure out a way. Put your heads together and come up with some solution to get that equipment down there in 12 days.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think we're going to try to get the mayoral candidates on. We've had Andrew Jones on, right? Michael Butler has been on this show before. It's been a couple of years. Maybe we can get him, put out a request to get him back on the show, and we'll throw out the offer there for Kara Spencer and Mayor Jones too. Mayor Jones is, since she got elected. Now, I used to cover her as a reporter for Channel 4 years ago when she was a state representative. I've had her cell phone for years. And she won't take my calls. So I can't figure out why, but she won't. And she's welcome on this show anytime she wants to come on and explain her policies and why she thinks the people of St. Louis should reelect her. I'd be happy to have her on. I've no problem with that. I think you have to have the strength of your convictions if you're going to go into the public arena and give your ideas on things, and you've got to be willing to answer some hard questions. And I don't think the media in this town asks her enough hard questions.
That's because they're all in agreement with her policies, probably. But
well, maybe.
I mean, there's no way Tashara Jones will come on this show. I don't think she has the guts. Are you sure that's her? Not that she would probably answer your call regardless, but do you think that she has the same number?
Well, maybe not. But I texted her and we reached out to her PR person when she was first running for mayor and invited her on the show. I mean, I've been at this here since for 8-9 years now on 97.1, either with the midday or the morning show, and she's never responded to any of our inquiries.
Yeah, that's, she's scared.
Well, I don't know. What else would it be? Maybe she thinks she doesn't need our audience. I don't know.
I mean,
does she assume Democrats don't listen to this show? I know they do because I see them on the ones on social media. Some of the people that troll us all the time are certainly not conservatives or members of the Republican Party. That's for sure. And many of them live in the city. So I don't know why you wouldn't try to get hit as wide an audience as you can. Maybe after those last polling numbers, she'll see the wisdom in trying to spread her message. So we'll throw the offer out there. How about that? Coming up, we're going to get a check of business for you, trying to get a hold of Jackie Heinrich from Fox News. We'll see what happens. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.